Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It was only when I was 29 I had the idea to do the project. And up until that point, I actually couldn't even say the words out loud, my mom is gay. I had this idea to sort of document other kids who have gay parents. And really for me, going through this project of meeting other kids who have gay parents became my own form of therapy and a way to deal with everything that happened and actually connect with other people who've gone through the same experiences. Finding other people who you could talk to who have been through it is so valuable.
Hello and welcome to Some Families. I'm Lottie.
And I am Stu. Hello, listener, and welcome if you are listening to the first time. We are a podcast that celebrates LGBTQ plus families in all their glorious, fabulous forms. So welcome. But if you're an old timer, you know us, so we don't need to introduce ourselves again.
Yeah, and whoever you are, have a look back through our archive. We've got so many amazing stories now. It's been such an amazing journey recording this podcast, and we've spoken to an incredible array of guests. And I think whatever kind of family you are part of or are considering, you'll find something that resonates for you. So please do go back and have a listen. And hey, we are not the only ones that think that we're amazing, because we've been nominated for a British Podcast Award.
Woohoo!
The Oscars of the podcasting world, no less.
Very excited about this. And I do just want to say a huge, huge thank you. I'm going to do my acceptance speech right now. I mean, it's amazing to be nominated. And I just want to say a personal thank you, not only to our producer, Hattie, but the amazing guests that we've had on. I mean, Lottie's just said about going back and listening to them. But honestly, Some Families would not be Some Families if it wasn't for the absolutely wonderful guests that we have had join us on the show and share their stories. So we want to say thank you. And to our listeners.
I'm going
to
start playing you off now. The orchestra's playing you off.
You could just mute me. And Lottie, you're back from France.
We're in quarantine. I missed my two phone calls from the track and trace department today because I was changing my daughter's nappy and playing with her in the paddling pool, and I missed these two calls. So now I'm really worried I'm going to get, like, a helicopter's going to land in our garden and I'm going to be arrested. And I've not left the house, I promise. Yeah, it was good. Coming back was a lot easier than going. We didn't have any dramas. And I'd actually recommend train travel over plane travel in some respects with a toddler, because they can sort of stand up, walk around. Mm. It's easier for sure on a train.
Well, welcome back to wonderful United Kingdom, Lottie. We have missed you greatly. Just for a little change, to spice things up a little, I wondered if we should do a little show and tell now before we speak our wonderful guests.
Yeah, so, I've got a couple of things in my parenting bag that I've brought with me today. Baby wipes and dummies and all sorts of things. Okay, so I've got in here some of the new Lego Pride figurines, which are called the Everyone is Awesome collection. And they are rainbow-hued, gender-neutral figurines, although one is blatantly a drag queen because she's got fabulous, fabulous bouffant hair. But it's great. Yeah, they're all the rainbow flag colours. They're sort of hard to identify what their gender is, so I would say they're all nicely non-binary. And I just think it's fabulous. And it's about blooming time that Lego did something this boldly supportive of their LGBTQ plus fans. Because I don't know about you, but I was a huge Lego fan, and I'm sure lots of queer kids are as well. So I think it's brilliant that they're...
The gays love a bit of Lego, don't they?
Unless you step on it. then
don't even get me started on stepping things, Lego, anything. Just at the moment, I made some dwarfs for my little boy's cake, and they're now laying around the house, and they're just digging into my feet at every available opportunity. And insane.
Your cake, so sure. I don't know if you do follow Stu on Instagram, but his cakes that he and his husband make for their kids, you're just so good at parenting. Like, you make your kids the most incredible cakes for their birthdays. Like, me and my wife were staring at them like, how do they do this? And they've got three kids. It's incredible.
Well, thank you. They improve year on year. When we first started doing this for them, I really wanted to make them cakes rather than buy them cakes, because I just felt that it was something that I had done and it didn't matter how crap it looked. And actually, as I've had 3 years of practice now, times three children, I've been able to perfect it a little bit more, as it were.
I loved that on your youngest's cake recently, it was all digger themed, but then you'd managed to seamlessly work in a Disney princess into the theme, the digger theme.
I needed to gay it up somehow. I was like, oh, diggers. Actually, yeah. And my sister-in-law has bought our youngest a gull, which is now sitting in the garden, which I'm slightly mortified at. I don't know what to do about.
Come on, England.
I'm like, oh, no, that's not going to happen. Where's his Barbie?
Come on, you can do it. Just kick a ball into a net. We need to degender these things. Degender football. I know, but it brings back. I remember
it's trauma and
balls being hit at my head the whole time in the playground.
Is that what put you off balls in the first
place? Yeah, it did.
Do you have anything else in your lovely show and tell bag, Lottie? Moving on from balls.
The only other thing was that I saw that there's going to be the first gay single mum in Rugrats. Look it up, listener. It sounds.
But it's
like
the mum. It's cool. The mum who always used to be like the sporty exercise one, wasn't it, with the purple headband? So anyway, enough of show and tell. Yes. Put show and tell away now, because in today's episode, we've got to move on to our guest, who is based in Brooklyn. So Lottie, this is series two's New York hat trick. We've spoken to three people from New York now.
Maybe next season we need to decamp to New York to record a season.
We need to get out there. Hello, Virgin Atlantic, if you are listening.
I was just thinking that.
So we came across Gabriella, who is our guest, Gabriella Herman, because of her book, The Kids. I don't know if you want to share a bit more about it, Lottie.
Sure, yeah. So her book, The Kids, was published a couple of years ago, but we came across it recently and we're just blown away by her beautiful, beautiful portrait images of older kids of queer parents. So she herself is the child of a gay mum. Her mum actually came out when she was 15. So she sought out other people who had a similar experience to her, and she photographed them and they told her their stories. But we will let Gabriella explain her story herself.
Yeah, I love hearing from children of LGBTQ plus parents. So here, without further ado, is Gabriella Herman. So Gabriella, welcome to Some Families. How are you, and where are you joining us from today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. And I am currently in Brooklyn, where I live, in Brooklyn, New York.
How are things over there? Is it kind of opening up a bit more? Are you able to go out and about?
It's fully, not fully, but like definitely on the upswing of opening up. And actually, tonight I'm going to my very first sort of social gathering. It's like a gala for my kids' school that's happening like outside, but it'd be like adults socializing.
Oh, wow. Is that going to be like super awkward while you're all kind of like readjusting?
We'll see. I'm super excited and curious.
So thank you, as I said, for joining us tonight on Some Families. Can you tell us a little bit about your own family? Because I believe we'll come on to your project and, you know, your history in a moment, but for our listeners as well to know, you're a mum yourself as well. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Hence the school evening.
Yeah, she's not just hanging out at the school.
Yes, I have a mom to a almost 3-year-old next week and a almost 5-year-old. I live here in Brooklyn, but I grew up in Boston, and I have two siblings. The three of us grew up with a mom and a dad.
and happy childhood all together. And then my parents split up when I was in high school. I don't know if you want me to get into it now.
Or... Yeah, get into it.
Sure. So yeah, lovely childhood, you know, grew up in New England, pretty privileged. And then parents split up when I was in high school because my mom came out as a lesbian. And then she moved out a year or two later and then moved in with this woman who she'd been seeing. Then they got married and they've now been married since then. But when it happened in high school, it was super, super traumatic for me. As I said, grew up in like, you know, New England prep school culture. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't something that, you know, now it's normal. And then it absolutely was not. And I couldn't talk about it with anyone, and basically an entire year when I didn't speak with my mom, and it was very, very rough for a while, you know, the family splitting up and all the movings. And it wasn't until, it was when I was 29 when I started, I'm a photographer and I'm always sort of working on my own projects along with commercial clients, and I had an idea to do a project about kids who have gay parents, even though I never once had met a single person who had a gay parent. And I never even talked about it with anyone, let alone my siblings, who are like super close. We talk every day about everything. You know, we never talked about it. And it was only when I was 29, I had the idea to do the project. And up until that point, I actually couldn't even say the words out loud, my mom is gay. Wow. And I had this idea to sort of document other kids who have gay parents. And really, for me, I joke, but it's not a joke at all, that like going through this project of meeting other kids who have gay parents became my own form of therapy and a way to sort of deal with everything that happened and actually connect with other people who have gone through the same experiences. And, you know, through the project came out on the other side.
Can I ask a couple of like quite nosy follow-up questions? So did you then stay and live with your father? And your mum moved in with the... And how did you get on with the... Or feel about your mother's new partner?
I hated her. Okay. It was very brutal. I hated her with a passion. You know, when she would call the house, I would be so angry at, you know, how dare she be calling our house? I would hang up on her. As I said, it was very rough. You know, I had very negative thoughts towards her. I will say, now that this is, you know, 20 years later and we're on the other side, 25 years later, it is sort of, we have reached sort of best case scenario in which my mom and dad are still friends and friendly, and I'm, you know, close now with my mom's partner, and everyone sort of, it is sort of the Brady Bunch, you know, happy ending in which we all do like our holidays together and still sometimes even go on vacations together, and it really is become like best case scenario despite sort of the trauma that happened in high school.
And is your mom's current partner the same one?
Yes, same partner. Okay. And she has two kids as well, and they're in the mix.
How was that experience of your mum actually coming out to you? Like, how did that happen at the time? So you were, did you say you were 15?
15, I was a freshman in high school, and I remember those moments where you just like remember everything about the moment and the day. It was freshman year, it was springtime, I was studying for a final. I was like out in the driveway, like reading my history books, and she came out, and basically like a week earlier, maybe I had found some lesbian books in her bedroom, like just books about lesbian. And I guess in the back of my head, I knew that something was going on, or just something wasn't right. My parents, you know, weren't happily married. They were fighting a lot. And, you know, I found these lesbian books. And so I was studying there, and I think that's the moment I basically like confronted her and said, hey, I found the books. And then she kind of confessed, and it sort of started unraveled from there.
It's so shocking to find out that your parents aren't the people that you thought they were. I mean, Stu and I both come from families that split up when we were young. I mean, my parents actually split up when I was 23, so not young at all. And I remember it was because my dad was having an affair with someone. And that feeling was so devastating. And I wonder if it's like, in some ways, of course, the fact that your mum was gay was like another level of thing to get your head around. But just there's that very basic primal feeling as a child of like, you were my mum or you were my dad. And like, that's who you were. And now I'm seeing that you're not just my mum or my dad. You're this whole other complicated, multifaceted, difficult person. And that's incredibly shocking for a child to have to realize about their parent, I think. Does that resonate?
It's, yeah, for sure. It's just so wild when, yeah, you realize that your parents are also, like, adults and have their own lives and, you know, they're not just your parents. Luckily, right now, like, I think about my kids, like, they only know me as their parent right now. You know, it's a while till they get to that. So I'm milking it right now for all I can. But, yeah, it's really wild. And you mentioned on something which was a sort of factor, which is that there was so much focus on my mom being gay and that being so unknown and what that meant and all this stuff. And, like, very, very little was focused on the fact that our, like, sort of perfect childhood and family was all of a sudden breaking up and that we're going through, like, a divorce. Yeah. Like, there was never acknowledged, like, any sort of feelings about what it is to go through a divorce and be a child of a divorced family. You know, like, that was just so not discussed because, like, the gay part was the red flag in it all.
Yeah, because I wonder whether a lot of the feelings got kind of put onto the fact that she was gay, whereas actually if you were really sort of unpicking it, it might be just the very fact that she had met someone else, your family was breaking up, and you know, that's such a big thing, and then the sexuality on top of it is just another level of thing that you don't understand suddenly about this person that you thought you knew better than anyone else in the world.
And in terms of where she was in her journey as well, I mean, do you know now, having spoken to her, like, how far along she was in the sense of speaking to your dad about it or coming to terms with it herself and understanding who she was?
I don't know completely. I think that there's still, as much as I said, everything's, like, fine, normal now, there's still a lot of conversations that we haven't had. Like, we haven't sort of dig and deep dive into everything that happened. I have had a few conversations since the book came out and sort of everything was brought to air a little bit with her. But there's definitely more to be had.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So you've mentioned your book, The Kids, which is how we came across your story. Could you just tell us a little bit more about it and about the project and what you were hoping to achieve with it?
Yeah, I had this idea to do like a portrait series to meet other kids and share their stories and have sort of text and audio along with the photographs. And I had this idea, but I had never met anyone. I didn't know even where to meet anyone. And a friend of my sister's actually connected me with this organization in the U.S. that is called Collage. It used to stand for Children of Gays and Lesbians Everywhere, but then it's still called Collage, but it's just more encompassing. And it actually is the only nonprofit in the country that supports kids who have gay parents. And they have chapters throughout the country in various cities. And so she connected me with the woman who's running the New York chapter, and we were trying to like get together for coffee and chat, and it just never worked out. She's like, you know what? I'm having a meeting at my house. Why don't you just come to it? So I went to her house, and like, here I am, literally never having met anyone who had a gay parent or talked about it with anyone or heard anyone talk about it. And I walk in, and there's like 9 people, and they're all sitting around, and everyone goes around the room to introduce themselves, you know, to me, because they had already known each other. And they said, you know, I'm so-and-so, and my mom is gay. I'm so-and-so, and my dad came out when I was 5. I'm so-and-so, and I was raised by, you know, and all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, it was just like that moment. I'm like, I know it. This is a project like I have to do. That was like the spark that was like, okay, this is happening. This is good. Like, and it started from there. So I started photographing the people from that group.
Can I ask, the people in that group, did they have similar stories to you in the sense of they had parents who had come out, or had some of them had parents that they'd always known was gay and just happened to be raised by LGBT parents?
It was a mix. Yeah, it was both, a little bit of everything. And so when in the book project, I decided to sort of get sort of all the perspectives. I didn't just focus on parents who like had come out, but like also people who are raised from birth.
It's really interesting just to hear in terms of like hearing about the support group, and was it very much that, or was it a support group, or would you say it was more like a social support group?
It was a mix of both. I mean, it definitely was a support group in sort of sharing experiences, but then there was also, as part of Collage, they put on events and workshops. What's interesting is that I started that project, I said, when I was 29, and in the beginning it was very, very hard to find subjects. And even in that group, some people who were willing to talk with me, they weren't willing to be photographed or like didn't want their name attached. And I shot over 7 years. I ended up shooting almost 100 subjects, and definitely, you know, towards the end, from the beginning to like 7 years later, it definitely was way easier to find subjects and people were way more willing to open up. And you know, in the beginning, the people I interviewed, it was sort of like a trauma that happened or a big incident in their lives or, you know, something to deal with. Whereas some of the younger kids who I interviewed towards the end of the project, like you do the interview and there was like 20 minutes long because it's like, yep, my parents are gay, no big deal, never had any issues, and like in and out, and like that was that.
And how did you feel when you were meeting people who were like that? Because obviously it was traumatic for you for lots of different reasons, but then you're kind of meeting people who are understanding it in a different way maybe, or had a different experience, and was that changing your mindset or making you feel at all sort of maybe bad about the way you had reacted at first?
No, I mean, I think it's amazing. I think, I mean, that is just like a sign of progress. And, you know, I'd like to think that people would look back on it in the future and be like, I don't understand why there was fuss about that. You know what I mean? It's just going to be so regular that it'll be interesting to be like, wow, there was a whole, you know, book dedicated to this because it wasn't normal.
So with your story then, Gabriella, and having listened to some of the stories and journeys that your subjects of the book have come from, do you feel that your mum could have communicated it to you in a different way that would have made it easier for you at the time? Or is that something you've thought about in terms of also like for any advice for somebody who may be listening to this who is, you know, potentially worried about coming out to their children and to their family?
I definitely should have been in therapy and talked about it. We didn't really talk about it at all. I mean, they did try to take us once or twice to like a family therapist where like me and my siblings and my two parents went, and I just like couldn't deal and like broke down crying, and like it was a disaster, and we tried again and same thing happened, and like never really followed up from that. And I know that I could have benefited by just being able to talk about it with someone, anyone. As I said, I didn't talk to anyone about this or anything until I was 29. And like in college, you know, I would, once I got really, really close to someone, I would like, you know, feel comfortable like sharing my secret. But like, it really took so long to get to the point to be able to feel comfortable even talking about it with anyone.
Did you ever sort of seek out an LGBTQ community in terms of, it sounds like perhaps where you grew up or where you went to college, there wasn't a big community of queer people? And
it's funny because there was, like, I went to a super liberal college, maybe not so much in high school, there was like a sort of a gay group there, but I went to a super liberal college, and you know, I did have like, you know, gay friends, and my sister came out as gay when she was in college, but we didn't discuss it. And it's not, no one told us like, oh, you can't talk about this. And as I said, my family, my siblings were super close, but it just, I mean, there was one time where me and my sister and my dad were like on a trip to New York, and we were in a hotel room. And I remember maybe my dad was in the shower and my sister and I were lying in bed, and I'm like, hey, have you told anyone about mom? And she's like, no. And I'm like, yeah, me neither. And like, that was the extent of like us talking about it.
Well, and what about your sister coming out as gay? Do you think that she found it easier because of your mum, or did it come with the baggage of your mum with her coming out?
I think both ways. I think in some ways, I mean, my mom was like thrilled, but I think she still also kind of struggled with it. My brother and sister definitely struggled with it, but I was the one who like visually would like have the crying fits and scream at my mom. And, you know, it was just like, they saw me, what was going on. So they kind of just were quiet in the background and never talked about it or brought it up because they saw how hard of a time I was having with it. And so because of that, my sister, I don't know. I mean, it obviously affected her. And I don't know if I can speak to her about that.
And so some of the stories that you came across when making the book, which is called The Kids, were there any in particular that really stood out to you?
So many. I mean, I get asked often about the book. So what is your takeaway? What did you find out? And like, I wasn't trying to prove any sort of point with a book. I was just trying to share stories. And my takeaway that I usually say is that it's just wild how many different family configurations exist, and like so many different ways to make up family. And you think you've heard everything, and like, I would be in Boston and be like, oh, another, you know, girl who has two lesbian moms growing up in Boston. And like, they start telling their story about their family, and you're like, oh, it's totally different than the other one. You know, every family situation is so different.
And has that affected your own sort of sense of your family? And do you feel, I mean, I don't know your personal family situation other than the fact that you have children, but do you feel like a little bit normcore in comparison?
my partner is a man. I'm in a hetero marriage. And I definitely feel very like we're like mom and a dad and two kids and they're a boy and a girl. And it does feel like so.
But do you feel your experiences that you went through has developed you, has added to the dynamic of you as a family and you as a parent? Do you feel that's impacted at all? In a positive way.
I'm sure. I would hope so. I don't know at this point to be able to say in what ways, but I'm sure and I hope that it would.
Do your kids know that they've got a gay granny?
Oh, yeah. We were super close, as I said, and so we see my mom and her partner all the time and my sister and her partner, and like they have a kid too, and she knows about like her cousin who has two moms, and it's very, you know, normal for them. And even, you know, when my daughter's playing family, you know, it's often, there's no question if there can be like two moms playing, two kids being the mom together is totally fine. And that's wonderful to see.
Have you had that? I know you said that there's still moments that you've not spoken to your mom about certain things, but was there a point where you said you were 29 when you first started speaking to anybody about it? I mean, was there a turning point where you did actually sit down with your mom and talk to her about it, or is that something you still see potentially in the future?
Oh yeah, no, I forgot to say, so part of the project, as I said, was I did interviews with all the subjects. And okay, this is a two-part question. So with my siblings, I knew I wanted them to be in the book, and I knew, you know, I would have to interview for them, and I was so nervous about doing their interviews because we had never talked about it, and I put it off, and literally, like, they were the last two interviews I did, and it was, like, right before the deadline of the book, and, like, we finally sat down and had the conversations, and I just asked the same questions that I had asked all the other subjects, and, of course, I was, like, super nervous about it, and, of course, it was, like, so wonderful, and I also did it with my mom's partner's two kids, so my stepbrothers, who would never talk with them about anything, and it was amazing to, like, interview them and have those conversations that we had, like, never had before, and, I don't know why I had been so nervous to do it, but with my brother, he was 8 or 9 at the time. And so he talked about, like, he didn't even know what being gay meant. He thought that being gay meant was like that your mom moves out. Like, and it just blew my mind. Like, wow. I just forgot like how our experiences were different in that. And just being able to, again, having those conversations and communication is so important. So about halfway through the project, I had opportunity to publish the images for the New York Times, and they asked me, I had put a portfolio of the images in the project and submitted to them, and they were super interested, and they said, we love this, but we'd like you to like write your story to go along with images, which I hadn't done yet. So I had to write like my own sort of essay about my family, my experience, and why I started the project for the New York Times. And that was the first time that I sort of put it into words. And so when that was published, I was super, super nervous for my mom to see it because, again, I had never talked about my mom about the feelings that I had had or anything. And so she read it, you know, before it was published. But I was so nervous for her to see that. And of course, you know, she read it and was like so proud and like immediately shared it on her Facebook. And there wasn't a reason for me to have been so nervous.
Well, she should be super proud. It's a wonderful book and they're wonderful images and wonderful stories to share.
Yeah, the photos are beautiful. And just finally, do you have any advice to people listening who are children of parents who have come out or perhaps transitioned, which is maybe the kind of more timely equivalent of realizing your parent was gay in the sort of mid-90s to now your parent transitioning in 2021, sort of in terms of social stigma, is perhaps that we're at a similar place with trans issues as we were with gay issues back then. Do you have any advice to the kids?
I mean, as I said, it was so important for me to just meet other people who had been through the same situation. And it wasn't until that point that I began to feel comfortable and able to talk about it. And so just like seek support, whether that's just online or in groups or in local communities or at your school, or just finding other people who you could talk to who have been through it is so valuable. You know, my first 4 or 5 interviews that I did when I had never met anyone else, I ended up with sharing my story while they were sharing theirs, and like I would cry and they would cry, and so many times I was recording I had to stop the recording and be like, oh my god, I can't believe you felt like that too, like I did that too. And I mean, it was just the most powerful moments to have that just connection with other people who've been through your same experience.
Well, thank you to Gabriella for joining us on Some Families. I found the whole story incredibly interesting. I love speaking to children of queer parents because I think it helps inform us about what potentially our own children may think in the future. But I think her story in particular and the way she talks about the trauma that she went through, obviously different generation, and she was finding out in her teens. What did you think?
Yeah, really interesting perspective, I think, for our show. And I think it's actually really interesting how I really relate to that trauma of your parents splitting up and how it feels to kind of discover that your mum or your dad isn't the person that you thought they were, and the acute betrayal of that and the sense of being a child and your parent has let you down somehow. So I can really understand it, and I think that it's great that she's kind of really embraced it now and has explored through her art meeting other people and feeling like much more part of a community, because it sounded from what she was saying like she didn't really have a LGBTQ plus community around her who might have kind of welcomed her, or she didn't want it, she didn't seek it out. So
absolutely. And the notion and the concept of the collage group, the community for children of queer parents, and how people can come to it from a completely different viewpoint. And I think the fact that it's acknowledged that we have so many different types of families, as we've explored on the show many a time, I think it's interesting to really see it from the eyes of children from LGBTQ plus families. Yeah.
But also such a different experience, I think, being raised by two parents of the same gender than finding out halfway through being raised by them that
absolutely
one of them is.
And how we with our families as well, you with your daughter, me with the kids, we're in a completely different space in the sense of that that's all they've ever known is a couple of gays and a couple of lesbians raising
them,
isn't
it? I know, when you come out as straight and leave John.
That really will be a shock to all.
For your neighbour, yeah.
When you and I run away, Lottie.
Oh, God, yeah. When it finally happens.
Love it. Well, if you like that episode, listener, we did speak to another grown-up child, and we want to speak to many more, but we spoke to
a
grown-up child.
Otherwise known as an adult.
Oh, yes, that's the word for it, isn't it? We spoke to Mike back in series 1. If you haven't had a listen to it, please do. It was called When You're Young, You Don't Question It. And it was talking to Mike Wooler about, who's gay himself, about him growing up with his two mums in the UK. So do go back and have a listen to that anywhere you get your podcasts.
An interesting comparison, I think, that episode, because Mike also found out that his mum was gay, but obviously he was a lot younger. He was in primary school. But maybe the fact that he's gay himself made the experience of his mum's sexuality a lot more.
Easier to understand?
Yeah, so maybe the experience for him of coming to terms with his mum's sexuality coincided with him coming to terms with his own sexuality, and that made it easier.
Go and have a listen to Mike's episode if you enjoyed this episode, or listen to any of our episodes from Series 1 or Series 2 to all our fabulous guests. And if you are a child of LGBTQ plus parents and want to tell your story, well, then we would love to hear it. So please get in touch. You can email us at somefamilies@storyhunter.co.uk or check out our website, somefamiliespod.com, or even slide into our DMs on Twitter or Instagram. And we are at somefamiliespod.
We are going to record another episode for you next week, but for now it's goodbye from me.
And it is goodbye from me.
This episode was produced and edited by Hattie Moyer.
Some Families is a Story Hunter production.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.